Good morning. That's a good song to proceed forward to this phase of our worship, and I appreciate it much. Ring out the word, ring out the message that makes men free, happy and free. And that's exactly the spirit that I love within this group here today, and almost, I guess, every time we meet. I love that. I love to be a part of that, come here within that, and find all of the motivation and the need within to just sound forth our praise, to ring it out. I almost see a songwriter sitting down saying, how am I going to say this? We need a praise God. Ring it out. Just let it go. And that's a good thought. I love that. And if it comes from us with that same wording spirit, then God gets worshipped. And that is good news for us here today. Glad you're here. It's a great time. It's going to be warm. Understand, we almost had frost out at our house last night. Not quite. I really don't mind, tell you the truth. We have, as I think I've said several many people, an absolute infestation of stink bugs, and they do not like cold, frosty weather. And so I kind of am in favor of that. I don't know how they survived through this winter, but a lot of them did. But in any event, God is good. We're here to worship Him, be His people, and just to soak up the nutrition for strength to serving, to pleasing, that is ours to glean here today. And I'm so glad to be able to share that with you. Sermons are funny things. I don't know how Mike does. I come down here at the building and watch. I see Mike sometimes. He's in there in his desk or somewhere, and he's got books spread out here, and he's studying. And that is good. And I do the same thing. I need a larger table at home. I study a lot there. And up in my loft, I can't run enough errands for Gene because of my hip. If I run up and down those steps too often, it just it bites me. So I study downstairs a lot. But it is good, and you find yourself almost getting off into another world. I do. I'm sure Mike does too. Yeah, I believe I could come in here quietly and reach in, you know, walk in, and he wouldn't know I was there because he's into what he's doing. And that's the way it ought to be for all of us, really, who try to let God speak to us and listen carefully to what He says in the covenant that we live under today. I had a conversation with someone whom I won't name. Someone I've known a long, long time, even before I came to Holiday Park. And that's been a while. That was 1982. And it just opened up to my mind a whole area that I wonder if it isn't a satanic methodology used to pull people down in a lot of minds. This person, obviously, if I know them that long, you know they're not youth anymore. And so they're at a point in time when life is, there is an end point up there that becomes more and more a bit in focus. And with that in focus, if you are not well sorted out and you've heard some things that maybe trouble you a bit, it can really get you down. Especially when Scripture is used wrong. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body, and then from that receive good or evil. How does that make you feel if you're 79? And that could happen here in just a few days. You never know. And this person was really struggling under the weight of that struggle right there. Christian person. Loves God. Struggling, actually brought down to, I guess you could call it depression, because the thought just keeps coming back. You get things that tell you, Earl is winding down. This vibrant youth, this I'll never die, this whole comfort with being, interminable, fading. And those things have been lingering in you for a long time. They come to the surface and they get you down. And that's going to be the focus of my sermon today. I hope it'll have some meaning for you. I hope I put it together in a fashion where it'll communicate. I never know. Try. That's all you can do is try. Don't claim to be the best preacher, best communicator in the world, but I'm going to try on this one because I think it's important. I think it's inside all of us a bit. And I want us to hear it. Our key scripture today is that one. Know therefore. And it has within it the germ of the answer to this dilemma when it's really thought into and what's said here is heard. Know that the Lord your God is God. What he says comes from God. There is no refuting it, adjusting it. There's no changing it. It is lock solid. He's the faithful God who keeps covenant. Now there's where I want you to hold on to something right there. He keeps covenant. He doesn't mess around. It's not like, oh well, there is this little amendation and this little change. And in case of this, that, no, he just keeps covenant. And he's made a covenant. An incredible covenant between him and his people. He keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and who keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. That means that there, 1,000 there is a generic term. That means it's not going to be ever not true for anybody, anytime, anywhere. Now that is such an important thought. Satan, and we were talking about him today in Mike's class, perhaps the chief of the evil angels, works very hard to take away everything you've got that God has given you, that he wants you to have, where you can wring it out, free and happy. A person who is locked under some dread of, oh, I've got to stand before God, I'm not ready. He can't have that freedom, that joy, and he can't wring it out. And so Satan has worked to take a way to just stifle it off. We can't let that happen. If you can, he'll keep us living under a depressive cloud of guilt. I don't think there's too many in this room. Maybe there's some very young ones, and maybe some who are, I don't know, just not too conscious, who don't have to live under a cloud of guilt, because when they look back in time, down the road of their life, it all looks good to me. I don't. It doesn't look good at all. There's some bad stuff back there. Now, if I got to carry that on and say, God, here, I'm going to tell you how it happened. Lord, I got to give you a good spiel here so I'll be okay. I'm in trouble. I'll never make it. Cloud of guilt. He'll take that cloud and just bring it right over you and make it dark over your whole life. If he can, he'll cause our hearts to condemn us. Words of 1 John chapter 3. He'll accuse us continually, night and day, to ourselves, to God, if we'll let him. Revelation 12, in essence, puts him in that mode of operation. He will hide from us, if he can, the very eager to forgive and cleanse personality of God. He'll hide it. Don't let him see it. Keep it in mind. Still there. That past is yours. You're going to bring it up. You're going to give answer for it. He'll try to distort and change. God's good news that we sang about ringing out to where it's not good, it's actually bad. What an operator. He'll lock us under fear, choke us to death if he can. But from the days of Abraham, I don't know how long ago was that, about 4,000 years. From the days of Abraham, God has been seeking to draw us, not force us, not legalistically put us in there because we meet the law. He has been seeking to draw us into a covenant, beautiful and wonderful, that he put together. He had formulation years for that covenant all through the years from Abraham to the coming of our Lord. And then he brought it. And we have it to live under today. A covenant wherein he can forgive us permanently. No more sacrifice needed. Reconcile us. Turn us into friends. I called you friends, Jesus said. Remember our sins no more. I have a line for this sermon. That's it. a component of this covenant that God keeps. God keeps covenant. Third line down in our key scripture for the day. God keeps covenant. And a centermost part of that covenant, He remembers sins no more. And if He can't remember it, I'm not going to bring it up. It won't be there. And that is such an important principle. If that were not true, what's all of God's efforts been for? Like, there's not a human being on the planet who can pass that stand before God test if what we just said is not true. Not a one. And so what's it all been for? From Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Moses to Joshua to the prophets to the promised land to a stable in Jerusalem or Bethlehem to a cross outside Jerusalem. What's all that been for? If He's going to remember our sins. Listen to a few verses, and I'll put them up here, that have been used to pull people down, put them under a cloud. Here's one. Not meant to be used this way, but has. Since we are always of good courage, we know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. Is this Paul? While we're here on this earth, we're away from the Lord in a sense. There'll be a time when we won't be away from Him. He's here. He indwells us. We're not so away from Him that we're not involved with Him on a fellowship basis. But we don't have the nearness with Him that will come in a fellowship to come in the future when we'll see Him, be like Him. 1 John 3, that's still to come. It's a wonderful thing. For we walk by faith, says Paul, not by sight. Keep that in mind. We're looking at a condition there. We're looking at one of the tickets where your sins will not come up. We're of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Oh, beautiful stuff. Paul can say that, so can you, if we find our way. I've talked to people who said, I can't say that because I don't think I'm ready yet to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. And we've come across two components, things here that are so very important. A kind of faith. It's a walk by faith. Faith, that means you live your life trusting Him. And a please God faith. Those need to be you. They need to describe you. A focus, a driving interest, a driving force in your life. I'm walking my life by trusting Him, and I'm walking my life to please Him. He is that good and that worth it. And the reason why is mammoth, that your life might find its attraction to arrive right there. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive good or evil according to what he has done in the body. Now, I ask you here, what is He recommended we do in the body? Walk by faith. Please Him. But if not, the conclusion is, there will have to be an answer given. You won't have it. But answer giving time will come if that is not true. Another one. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Romans, that Romans 14 chapter, that's a great chapter, so much there. Why do you despise your brother? You're passing judgment on him. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee will bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God, so each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now that's in a context of where I am saying to Brian Allbig, I condemn you. I disapprove about everything in you. And do I think I will not give an account for that? He's focusing on a type of life that is not a walk by faith. It is not a trusting in God faith, not appreciating God has given me faith, but one where I take the liberty and license to go around condemning, judging the people around me, even God's own people. Yeah, I'll give an account for that. But don't do that. Walk by faith. Please God. And that no longer holds. Point. If obedient faith, God-pleasing faith, is my one God-provided way to stand before God, clean, forgiven, with Christ's own righteousness now mine, mine. If I stand before God with Christ's righteousness, and you can read this verified over and over in Scripture, try 2 Corinthians 5:21, one of my favorite passages. You get His righteousness, He gets your sins. So here I am standing before God with Jesus' righteousness. Well, Earl, let's see you give an answer. I got it, Lord. His. If I got His righteousness, one thing I don't want to do, be minus this component of faith that says, I want to please my God. I want my life to please Him. I want to walk by faith. I want to walk trusting in Him. I want that. I want a faith that works by my love for my God. Galatians 5 verse 6. I want that faith. But don't stand there with what James calls dead faith. Dead faith. Don't get there with dead faith. You don't want to be there in that circumstance. I had this quote in from F.B. Meyer because I like it. I used to read F.B. Meyer a lot. I found one of his old books, ordered it on Amazon. I've got it. It's about Abraham, and I'm reading it again, and I'm re-impressed with Mr. F.B. Meyer. I think he died earlier this century, the last century. If obedient faith that works by love is my one God-provided way to stand before God on that day, clean and forgiven, and with Christ's righteousness mine, I don't dare get there with nothing but dead faith. I don't. We are so indebted to James for talking to us about this. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, action, deeds, active component of my life, is dead. Show me your faith apart from your deeds, your works, your actions, and I by mine will show you my faith. James is guiding us to that which will give us the joyful posture of standing there, and warning us about the one that will not allow that to be our lives. He's again calling for walking by faith. He's calling for a life pleasing God. And this is so serious because there's not a person in this room who will not stand before God. You need to go there with this faith, as the body apart from the spirit is dead. You've seen that so many times. I hope not to see it too many more. I hate to go to the funeral of people I love dearly and they're not there. The body's there, but the spirit is not there. And that body is dead. And he says, faith, your faith, if there's nothing in there pleasing God, working for God, trying to please Him in your life, if it's empty, it's dead. So important. The clear, concise formula for being ready to stand there, spelled out in many places in Scripture, but here's one. Says it clearly, needs to be understood, not just memorized. Understand what's being expressed and communicated. For by grace you have been saved through faith. God did all of the saving work, all the sacrifice making with Jesus, put everything in place, including this body of people who love each other called the church, His family, and let me be a part of it. He did everything. That's grace. I've been saved by that grace. But the mechanism He used to let me have a part was my faith. That's my part in this deal. He did everything. I just trust Him. That's my part. And this is not your own doing. I can't claim a thing. I can't claim I work for it. I can't claim I'm good enough. God, you got a pretty good deal in me. No, you don't. I look at my past life. I haven't forgotten it, and I know He doesn't. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest somebody could brag. For we are His workmanship. He put us together. Whatever progress we've made from lost, dead, sinful sinners to where we are, it's His doing. Don't take credit for it, Earl. You were created. You didn't create. You were created in Christ by Him for good doing, for good works. That's what He had in mind when He put you together. Such beautiful passage. Clear, concise formulas for just being ready to stand there before God. Now, a couple of absolutes, and this is kind of the center of what I want to say. Drawing direct from the Word of God for it. And going back to what we said at the beginning, when I go to judgment to give answer, He is the answer. I just stand there and smile. Glad. Innocent. A righteousness given me that's not my own. And not one sin to answer for. Not one. This is it. The covenant. Hebrew writer, reaching all the way back to Jeremiah chapter 31, starting at about 31, if I recall. But he's quoting that. This is the covenant that I will make. He had it in mind all the way back to Jeremiah's time and all the way back to Abraham's time. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days. House of Israel, we are the house of Israel today. Spiritual Israel, Jews, not by circumcision, but with those who have been cut from in the heart, the sin taken away, and we became Jews in the New Testament since Romans chapter 2. After those days, I will put my laws in their minds. That's how they can walk by faith. They know where to go. They're not blind. I put my insights in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow and everyone his neighbor, saying, "Know the Lord." He's talking about those of us inside the covenant, inside the church. We don't have to teach each other. I don't have to walk up to Mike and say, "Mike, you need to get to know the Lord," because they will all know Him. That's not what we have to teach them, that they need to know the Lord. "For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. I will be merciful toward their iniquities." We still have iniquity problem to be concerned about in our lives even today. "I'll be merciful toward those, and I will remember their sins no more." That's New Testament drawn from the old. That's the nature of God. What a joy. What a treasure to discover. What a sunlight pushing the cloud away and brightening life that is. I love that. It is so very precious. "For by a single offering," Hebrews 10 again, quoting from the same place. The Hebrew writer loved this. It was a focus. Beautiful. It is for the human being, for the child of God. "By a single offering, He has perfected for all time those who are set apart. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, on their hearts, and write them on their minds,' then He adds, 'I'll remember their sins no more.'" Second time. "Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." It's all done. Nothing else needs to be done to atone for your sins, to make offering for them. Well, it's all done. And within this covenant, our first scripture, that I am a God who keeps covenant, I won't remember your sins. I won't remember them. There can't be better news on the planet than that. And the older you get, the sweeter it is. It's not bad to be older. Because Paul registered out when he said, I'm not at home with the Lord. I'd rather be out of the body and home with the Lord. And that's the prospect. Not some panacea pie in the sky here on this earth. It far supersedes that and dwarfs that. "The Lord is merciful and slow to anger." I've got so many scriptures, I don't know how long I'll be able to go here. I just want to put this one in. I'm not going to read it all. It's beautiful. God says, "I won't stay angry with you forever. I'll remove your sins as far as the east is from the west." I love that passage. How far is that? Just go west forever and see if you get east. Now, we're not talking about a circular pattern around this globe. We're talking about straight west. How long will you have to go to get east? That's how far your sins are away. Isn't that neat? I love that. That's the nature of God. Were you able to hear with your heart life-lifting promise from a God who cares so much for you? And the words that we looked at here today, I hope you have. I'll be merciful unto your iniquities. I won't remember your sins anymore. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far I want to take your sins away. My steadfast love is from everlasting to everlasting throughout 1,000 generations. These people, you and I, have nothing to dread about coming before God. That is such an important principle. That is so vital. I want us to look now. I'm going to pass up. I was going to look at the section where there are people who need to dread standing before God. I don't have time to cover it. Just read Hebrews 6, about verse 4 through 9, and you can cover it for yourself. Those people are there. They need to dread coming before God in judgment. There are people who have, that scripture says, tasted everything God wants to give, heavenly gift. They've been enlightened. They've tasted the Word of God, the powers of God. They've tasted all that. And they have, the scripture says, committed apostasy. Greek word, I can't not tell you what it is parapesontos. Bad word. It's the act, according to the lexicon, of deliberate law-breaking that stems from habitual disregard for God. Isn't that neat? You do that. It's called deliberate wrongdoing, in the same lexicon, intentional transgression. Even after you've already been inside and tasted the will of God. The Holy Spirit even mentioned there, partakers of Him. You can't be a partaker of the Holy Spirit without being inside the Christian. You did all that. And you left it behind. And then what did you do? Well, what you did was crucify, in that scripture, the Son of God. You had Him and you said, let's just nail Him back up to that cross, and you did it yourself on purpose, intentional, of your own accord, the scripture says. And then He makes an illustration about such, about they're like thorns. Their end is to be burned. You don't want to do that. Those people need to be concerned. Let's try to bring it all together just for a minute. That day will arrive. When we'll stand there. It's coming. There will be an assembly there just as real as this one, only a lot more people. In fact, everybody. They'll all be there. Everybody. No, not one absence. We've got a lot of people absent today. Many reasons. Bless her heart, Jean couldn't be here. She's struggling. Pray for her. We've got people absent all over the place today. There won't be one person absent that day. Not one. It's coming just as real as this came. Came to be May 18th. Sunday morning, and this assembly was to occur, and it's here. This will be just exactly that certain. Jesus presents us a live scene of that occurrence. A massive crowd, already separated. I guess we just push these pews together and these pews together, and there'd be a big split in the middle, and that's the scene. Painted, Matthew 25. Clear and plain by Jesus of that day. When there's to be some standing before God happening. Listen quickly. We'll move to that. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, He's coming. The King will say, I was going to pass that one up, I think. The King will say to those on His right, come, you blessed of my Father, receive your inheritance, the kingdom, receive it, prepared for you since the creation of the world. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came. Give answer time is now. It's now. So how did they answer, these people on the right? Interesting. They said, Lord, and I don't have this on the slide, Lord, when did we do this that you just said we did? That was their answer. When? Jesus answered them, "As you were doing these things for the least of these, my brothers, sisters, you were doing it for me." That was the answer he made back to them. But they just gave answer. "Lord, we didn't really realize we were doing it for you. It's just who we were. We had become people like you. We were living by faith in you. We saw you helping people. We were just doing what we did because what you had made us into. And now we discover we were doing it for you. Wow. Thank you. What a great place to arrive. What an answering situation to be in. It's not bad now to give answer. I just did what I did by faith." If they'd thought like some of us do, they might have said, "Okay, Lord, that's good, but when do we have to talk about my sins?" And he would have said, "What sins? I don't remember any." What a God. That's the bargain. That's the deal. Now he deals with those on the left hand. We'll do that another time. I want to be on that right hand side. I want to walk by faith. I want a faith that works for him by love. I want to please him, and that's all that's required. Be on the right side, where the answer is, "Come on in. Receive the kingdom that I've prepared for you forever." Want to be there? I hope you do. No fear, just brightness. Just bright outlook for life now on this world and then on into the infinite eternity with him who is this good, cares that much about you, loves you that much, and says to you, "Hey, wait, I hasn't seen yet, nor ear heard, what I've prepared for those who love me." Wait till you get there. Come as we stand and sing.